So, dear ones, I was asked by the couple if I could focus on perhaps a couple portions of Scripture for their wedding service. And one is the very traditional chapter that we find and read together, which is contained in the Epistle of Paul to the Ephesians, chapter number 5. And I'd like to begin, I'd like to read the first two verses. It's something I always do when I read this portion of Scripture, because it sets the tone for the entire rest of the reading. And then we'd pick up with verse 21 and read that to the end. So Ephesians chapter 5, the first two verses, and then we'll pick up from verse 21 and read that to the end. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, and I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. We will get to the next portion of reading here shortly. As the Apostle Paul opens up this chapter, the closing of this chapter is really all about our relations, our obligations towards one another as husbands and wives. And in it, there's so much depth and there's so much instruction, and the words are so few. When we read sermons that the apostles preached in the Acts of the Apostles, when we read their sermon, it's a chapter long, two chapters. It might take us 5 minutes, 8 minutes, 10 minutes to read. Matter of fact, one of the longest prayers that are recorded in the Scriptures is the prayer of Solomon at the dedication of the temple. And if we read it, it takes us about 8 minutes to read. So the instructions in the Word of God are actually very brief, but they hold so much weight. They hold so much depth. And they take us to a level of living that is far above what I could sit here and speak to you for hours about. And Brother Alexander, your brother last night, Brother Gordon, had a closing prayer. And in it, he really set the tone for all of our lives, but in particular now, your life moving forward. And he led us in prayer that you too would make Christ the focus, the priority of your lives. And you know, if you do that, which it is my prayer that you already have, in our faith that you already have, but as you come together that your focus is Christ. Your eyes are always on him. And that's what this letter that Apostle Paul is writing here. He says, be ye imitators, followers of God. That means to be an imitator of him. You look upon him just as Jesus instructs you. Follow me. Look at me. Learn of me. If that is your focus, Brother Alexander, Sister Vesta, your lives will be blessed. You will have a joy that is unspeakable. Not only are you followers of God, but God brings you together. And he speaks of this great mystery of the bringing of a couple together. As you make your vows one to another before God, and your marriage is consummated, you are one flesh. And he says here, this is a great mystery. So this is God's doing. And it is something that God had ordained and created to be a until death do you part. Man loses sight of this mystery. This mystery which is described here, Paul describes in more of his writings as what that mystery is, and it is his relationship to the church. That Jesus Christ makes the church, you and I, brothers and sisters, one with him, with our Lord and our Savior, our Redeemer, who came and gave himself for us. His love was such for us that he spent himself, gave himself on the cross, that he might redeem us unto himself. And we are waiting that day now for that marriage where we will be brought together forever with our Lord and our Savior. And so, as the Apostle Paul is instructing here to be a follower of God as his dear children, and he says to walk in love, to walk in love. And you know, that term love is sometimes taken completely differently than what the scripture speaks of here. You know, love, as it comes from the scripture, is a level that is far above what anything you and I can do. You know, you can love your wife, and I can love my wife, and we can all love our wives, and our wives can love us, but as soon as something goes a little wrong, we say something wrong, we don't do something, we don't hear something, right away there can be a little bit of angst, a little bit of anger, frustration, and so on and so forth, and eventually you fall out of love. That's not love. That's romance. Those are just things that make us feel good. When God instructs us to love, he takes us to the level that he loved us. Because Jesus instructs us, as he instructed his disciples, that we are to express our love for our Lord by our love that we have one for another. You and I cannot say, I love God, but I do not love my fellow man because he is too hard to love. You cannot fall out of love with your wife, or you cannot fall out of love with your husband because you're an imitator of God. You've learned from him, and you are following him, and you are walking in the love that he loved you with. Which, Brother Alexander, as we read this portion of scripture, a lot of times husbands would even kind of make light of this, or kind of in a joking way it's used, which is, you know, my wife has to submit to me. And women don't like to hear that. Submission is not a term that is loved by anyone. But we cannot come to the Lord unless we've submitted to him. And I like what Brother Robert, in his last sermon that he had on at a wedding, he said, he addressed the bride, and he said, and so I'll address you, Sister Vesna, you cannot know what it means to submit yourself unto your husband Brother Alexander, unless you've already submitted yourself unto the Lord Jesus. And you'll understand what that submission means. And Brother Alexander, when you are hearing this, that your wife is to be submissive to you, that doesn't lift you up. That doesn't puff you up. You've submitted yourself unto the Lord Jesus because of his love for you. Sister Vesna, you're not afraid to submit yourself unto his role as a head, as a priest of the home. Because you know he submitted himself unto the Lord Jesus, who he loves and adores as you do. And the headship of the home is given to you, Brother Alexander. It's given to you. And now you are not to use it to rule over her, but rather to guide and to instruct the home, to direct it. You're the head of the house by God's appointment. You know, there's a movement in the 70s that wanted to destroy all of God's order of creation. And there's been a movement since the dawn of time to destroy God's direction and leading in all of our lives. And we don't have to look further than Adam and Eve. Adam was created first, the Bible tells us, and Eve was created for him. And God created them perfectly. But in the temptation, and this is how you, Brother Alexander, you have to watch and be careful in the home, in your lives together, what you allow to come into the house. What is taking place in the house? If God grants you children, how are you going to nourish them up in the ways of the Lord? You're the priest of the home. You are to watch what comes in. And you are to love and respect your wife so that your children can learn from you how to treat a woman and how to be. And we see what Satan did. He came to Eve. And I believe if we read that account, Adam had already failed before Eve even sinned. Because Satan came to offer to Eve a temptation. And he attacked her in her intellect, in her mind. The inmost leading of a woman is her heart. A woman has way more empathy towards something than a man does. It's natural. It comes naturally for a woman. But he didn't attack her heart. He attacked her intellect, her mind. Does it really say? What does it say? It doesn't say. And so, where was Adam? As the priest. And she partook. She sinned. She fell. Very easily. And as she just came, Satan was done. He knew he finished what he set out to do. And so now the roles were reversed. Eve gives Adam the apple. Here, take it. And he took it and ate it. Now he's being led by his heart. He's not considering his role. He's simply led. His wife did it. He's going to do it too. And sin came into the world. And the curse, all its ugliness, sin, is rampant and continues. It became so vile that God destroyed all of his creation with the flood. And man hasn't changed. And he can't change unless there's a new birth. Be ye followers of God as dear children. You know, I'm gonna tell you, if you do that, your marriage will blossom. Your life will be a joy. And it doesn't matter how rich you are. It doesn't matter how much money you have. And I hope and pray that you never flaunt what you have, but use it as God has intended it when he gave it to you. He gives it to you. It doesn't matter how poor you will be. And I pray it's not, as David prays, that it's not where he'll take his eyes and his trust off the Lord, which we'll read in another portion of Scripture here. But it tells us here, and you have the greater responsibility. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Have we ever considered, brothers, what that means? We're to love our wives. How? As God, Christ loves the church. And he says, and he gave himself for it. So the object of Christ's love was his church. And he poured himself out for those whom he loved. Were we lovable? Were we in obedience? Did we do what he said? Your love doesn't change. It's a love that is eternal. It's God's love. Your love now is to rise above what human relationship love is at. Your love for her goes to another level where your only desire is to please her. And that pleasing isn't by the worldly adornments and things like that. But you cherish her and you give to her that which is necessary. And what is that? Be a priest in the home. Love the Lord. Spend times in devotion one with another. I urge you to do that. Spend time together. If a thought comes to you sometime, share it with her. You also, Sister Vesna, if something comes to you, share it with them. A scripture, a reading, a hymn. Share it. Speak about it. Grow together. Apostle Paul says that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Sanctification. The Lord isn't done with you. With any of us. He is continually sanctifying us. Increasing our love for him so that our lives, our submission to him is easy when we look upon him as the one who saved us. And so the sanctification process is a continual thing. Your love for her is going to continue and to increase every day. You're not going to understand it. You think you love each other so much that it's going to increase the levels you can't even understand. And that's the beauty and the mystery of God's love. There's nothing that can take it away. There's nothing that can break that cord, as the hymn writer tells us. It says, so men ought to love their bodies or their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. No man would ever have a broken finger and ignore it. You got to get it taken care of. Anything that is wrong, we take care of. We know, because it cripples us. It literally cripples us. Whatever pain we may have, Whatever ailment we may have, it literally cripples us in ways where we can't operate. So we tend to that immediately. And that is the love the unity that the church is to have, one for another, but also here, specifically speaking of you, Brother Alexander, towards Sister Vesna. For no man ever hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. So your nourishment, your cherishment for Sister Vesna is as the Lord did for the church. Don't make a demand, you want the largest house, and now he has to work to provide that for you. That's not what your provisions are to be. You are to work by the sweat of your brow to provide for your family. And whatever else the Lord gives you, to provide to others who are in need as well. Because we don't live for ourselves. We live for the good of all mankind. And so the Lord nourishes and he cherishes. He loves his church. He loves us. And he provides that which is needful, necessary. How can that be, we might say? I'm poor. I don't have this. Or I'm sick. Or I'm dying. I have cancer. I have heart ailments. I have all kinds of issues. How can that be that the Lord really cherishes and nourishes me? Well, we take our eyes off of him when we think like that. Because life here isn't about me. It's not about my life that I'm to now live, eat, drink, and be merry. The Lord never put that forth for us. We live in a cursed earth. But the Lord can lift that curse off of all of our hearts. He lifts that curse. And he regenerates a man. And that's the only way that you and I can get rid of any bad habit, whether it be drugs or alcohol, women, all kinds of different vices that can take place. We could be abused as children. We could and always have this excuse. God can regenerate our heart. He alone can do that, and he can. If you put your trust in him, he will nourish. He will cherish, love, and take care of, and take away those things that destroy us and continue to haunt us the rest of our lives. Through the regeneration, through the new birth, Christ creates a new man. And in this new man, we're followers of him as his dear children. He says here, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. You're going to drop the name of Petrovich. You're going to become a Budimich. You're one. You're one. Operate as one. And be an example. Be an example to those around you of what a marriage in Christ looks like. I say this often, Brother Alexander, I hope and pray no one ever hears a word from your lips that will put down your dear wife. And the same thing with you, Sister Vesna. I hope and pray never would words come out of your mouth to someone else, I don't care who it is, that puts him down. You can never pick that up. I can't imagine the hurt. And when you devote your lives together to say bad things about you. We know the word teaches us, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. That doesn't give you a license to be angry. That means when you've realized you are angry, get out of it. You've sinned. Repent. come together. Being a priest of the home, being a leader in a home has great responsibilities. And I like to just read I think I mentioned this in the last wedding service I did too. Joshua was a man of great, he was a great general, a leader of the people. And it tells us when they came to Jericho, he lifts up his eyes and he looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him, and his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord, am I now come? And Joshua, realizing this is the Lord, this is the pre-incarnate Christ, he said he fell on his face to the earth, and he did worship him and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord of hosts said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy feet, off thy foot, for the place where thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. As the priest, you still have the captain of your soul to look to. And do what Joshua did, said, what saith my Lord unto his servant? But Alexander, when there's a problem, turn to the Lord. What saith, look to the Lord. Don't look to the books of this world. What saith my Lord unto his servant? The words are few in Scripture, but they'll give you direction. You can read a 400-page book on self-help and what to do and how to be. Oh, always tell your wife, I love you, before you leave. And that's all beautiful. But let it be shown from your life how much you adore your wife. The other portion of Scripture that I was asked to read from is Psalm number 40, a few verses from there. It's a psalm that is, Sister Vesna is one of her favorites. I'll read just a few verses. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it in fear and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust. You know, I believe, Sister Vesna, that this is an absolute continuation of the very thoughts that were being shared from the Apostle Paul to the Ephesians. You cannot be in a place of submission unless you've experienced what your heart is expressing here. This is a praise from David for God's help. And dear brothers and dear sisters, each of us who have experienced this new birth, regeneration, transformation, we have to consider what Christ took us out of. It's described here as a horrible pit. How much detail do we need? A horrible pit. miry clay, sinking. No chance to come out of it on your own. But he hears the cry. The Lord Jesus, in his Sermon on the Mount, says, "Blessed are they that mourn." The cry from the pit of the sin that I am in. And the Lord hears. He hears the cry. And he said, "Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust." The only way that you and I, brothers and sisters, and you, Sister Vesta, Brother Alexander, specifically in your marriage together, and individually in your own spiritual lives and together as a couple, can make a man look upon you or upon us and trust in God is if they see a godly person. If they see me turning to the rudiments of this world, turning to worldliness, turning to the self-help books to find my instruction, as I take the eternal Word of God and put it aside, how are they going to put their trust in the Lord? David, later in his Psalms, he says, put not your trust in princes, nor in the son of man. Listen to what he says, in whom there is no help. His breath goeth forth, he returneth to his earth. In that very day, his thoughts perish. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. Don't put your trust in riches. Don't put your trust in man, in the psychiatrist and the psychologist, and put your trust in God. He is the Almighty. He is the one that says, happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help. Because in man, there's no help. So where will your help come from? Where does our help come from? In man, there is no help. A world that does not have God has no help. And there's so much misery. And there's so much death. And when I say death, I don't mean a physical death. Because they're looking for the comforts of life, the riches of this world, the pride of life, help from man, direction from man, rather than from their Creator. Whenever you compromise anything that will come into your home, you will make friends with the devil. The devil was created as one of the most beautiful beings, second only to God. He gave that up through disobedience and became a devil. Eve disobeyed, took the fruit. It was good for the eyes, looked on it, took it, lost her innocence, and was given a conscience. It's never a good deal for the soul. Watch. Keep your trust in him. Look to him. You will be a blessing to your church. You'll be a blessing to those who come, who know you, who see you. You'll be a blessing to all around you. And the biggest aspect of this also is when we look at you, we can put our trust in God. Let that be your goal, that your lives are patterned after the Lord Jesus. As your brother prayed last night, your focus is only Jesus, and you two will have no problem together. You will never have issues in your marriage if both of your lives are fixed upon Jesus Christ. You will not. You can't. It's not possible. Because you'll know how to treat her, and you'll know how to submit to him. It's lovely. It's set up by God. It's designed by him. Man doesn't understand it. That's why marriage isn't sacred to a man. It means nothing outside of God, typically. You can divorce, you can fall out of love. Well, you grew apart. What's that mean? We grew apart. Can you grow apart from God? Yes. And you will grow apart too. But no, when you do, you've already left him. God forbid. So my prayer, and all of our prayers, many, the church is full. They came to rejoice with you, with the families, Budimliches, and, you know, I know when your father and his family came to this country. I was just a little boy myself. I remember him, good friends all our lives. I remember when your mom came to the country when you got married. It was at their wedding. And now to be a part of the last of their children's wedding is special. And many came here together to rejoice with them, with you. And we all love you dearly and hope and pray that you would, together, continue to grow, continue to be sanctified by the Lord Jesus in your lives, in your marriage. You'll be a blessing to all. May he richly bless his word upon our hearts. Amen.
Sister Vesna, you are in the presence of God and these many witnesses to be joined in holy matrimony instituted by God and commanded in his word to be honored and not to be taken lightly. If you have both sincerely considered this relationship of your own free will, please signify by joining of your right hands. Brother Alexander, do you take Sister Vesna Petrovic to be your wedded wife, to live together after God's ordinance in the holy state of matrimony? Will you love her, comfort her, honor and keep her in sickness and in health, for better or for worse, for richer or for poorer, and forsaking all others, keep yourself only unto her so long as you both shall live?
I do.
Sister Vesna, do you take Brother Alexander Budimlik to be your wedded husband, to live together after God's ordinance in the holy state of matrimony? Will you love him, comfort him, honor and keep him in sickness and in health, for better or for worse, for richer or for poorer, and forsaking all others, keep yourself only unto him so long as you both shall live?
I do.
For as much as Brother Alexander and Sister Vesna have consented together in holy wedlock and have witnessed the same before God and many witnesses, and thereto have pledged their faith to each other and have declared the same by the joining of their hands, I therefore, ministering in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, according to the word of God and in accordance with the laws of the state of Ohio, I now pronounce you husband and wife together in the name of the Lord. Those whom God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. Would the congregation please arise for a word of prayer?